Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Pitch here on 610 Sports Radio. Vern's On Deck show at 5 o'clock. Jonathan Bolin will make his 2024 debut. He was called up from AAA Omaha. He did appear in two games last year. Will Klein, who made his MLB debut over the weekend in Detroit, was sent back down. This, of course, start today is in the place of Alec Marsh, who is on the IL with that forearm injury after taking that line drive off the forearm. Hopefully it is just a short stint, but at least need one start from someone. Hopefully Jonathan Bolin can provide that this evening. The Royals 17-12, one win away for the most in April as a club in their history. So hopefully tonight, tomorrow, they can get a win, at least get to that and set a record.
Jonathan Bolin, I always have liked Jonathan Bolin. I remember he's really one of the top prospects. He made Team USA there for a while, but then went down with that Tommy John. So he's been recovering with that. Did have those two games with the Royals, made that one start last year, but I've always enjoyed some big dude, too. He's what, like 6'6", 240 pounds, something like that. Like, he's a big drink of water there. He's Jonathan Bolin. Second on what's trending, the Chiefs drafted 7. They went in with 7. They ended up with 7. Brett Veach will be on later on this afternoon with his press conference. Couple of these names, last year was all about Shamari Connor for me. I like these kind of, you know, under-the-radar type players or whatever. A lot of my guys not taken. Kamal Haddon was the one guy we had mocked.
You were excited about that one.
With the Kansas City Chief. Yeah, he had an injury last year. Led Tennessee in interceptions last 2 years. Only played in 7 games and still did it. Had to miss it. The tight end, Jared Wiley, brought Sonny Dykes on, his coach. A lot of the things he's talking about with Cerebral, leading the nation in touchdown catches, tight end. That is appealing to me because it means you help your quarterback. They struggled in the red zone. He did not. So that was their red zone option, was the tight end. I love stuff like that. I love the fact he had an 81-yard touchdown, showing that even though his combine speed is very similar to Travis Kelce, he showed that ability to be a long strider during games.
Next up on What's Trending, the Dallas Cowboys re-signing Ezekiel Elliott. He was away in New England for a year. He's back with the Cowboys. One-year deal, max value, $3 million. Rico Dowdle and Deuce Vaughn, I believe, are the other running backs in the room there. We talked about this early in the offseason because his name got floated maybe as an option. He's 28, but he's washed at this point. It's 1 year, three, so it's not a huge financial commitment. He had 642 yards last year for a crappy Patriots team that couldn't throw the football, that tried to run, and he still only averaged 3.5. His final year with the Cowboys, 876, 3.8 yards a carry.
When's his last 1,000-yard year? It was right
2021.
Okay, so one after COVID.
Yeah, he's had 876, 642 since. I mean, he's just washed. Like, is he really going to be their number one running back? They're not. The only good thing is they're not paying him any real money this upcoming year.
We watched the whole time thinking, all right, the Cowboys are definitely a team that's drafting a running back. I mean, they got Deuce last year. I like that pick. Mm-hmm. But he's not an every down back. It's like, all right, the Cowboys are going to draft somebody. Then all of a sudden you start seeing this Ezekiel Elliott type things floated out there, like, no. They're not going to do that. I think Zeke's biggest moment was jumping in that Salvation Army bucket on Thanksgiving that 1 year. When I think back at great Zeke moments. The fact you let him go the first time, you thought he was washed the first time you let him back. Now he's back now. So this is a very Cowboys move for a team with a lot of expectations this past year.
No, it is. And they don't have Tony Pollard anymore, who was disappointing. They thought that's why they can move on from Zeke, too, was, oh, Tony Pollard, Deuce Vaughn going to work? And they found out that Tony Pollard as the guy, probably not the best path forward for that organization. So Zeke back with the Dallas Cowboys. Next up, though, on what's trending, NBA postseason, Bink, continuing. Let's start with how things went yesterday. There was a quadruple header, I think it was. And you had the Pacers taking a 3-1 lead. Drew's happy about that. 126-113 win over the Bucks.
Knicks about to close it out.
T-Wolves sweep the Suns last night. Anthony Edwards was ridiculous in the win, so the Suns are out of the playoffs. The Clippers get a 116-111 win over Dallas to even up the series. The Knicks take a 3-1 lead over the 76ers. And so tonight, got a couple games going on. You've got the Thunder and Pelicans, where OKC has a chance to sweep that series. You have the Denver Nuggets trying to wrap up a series against the Lakers. Denver leads 3-1.
More importantly, though, did you watch the NHL this weekend? The NHL playoffs are freaking on. That Nashville game in Vancouver.
Yes, not happy about that.
3-1 lead. Those fans had their catfishes out, man. They were rolling in Smashville. They had a 3-1 lead. Then, boom, here comes Vancouver. Oh, they tie it up 5 or 6 seconds. They were ready to head to the doors. The fans in Nashville, oh, no, we got to go to overtime. It never works out when that happens. When you give that chance, that team, that old momentum, yeah, Nashville blew it. When you have a chance to make a series 2-2 and now you're down 3-1, that just sucks.
Yeah, Predators in Vancouver, and that game stunk.
The late-night NHL has been incredible.
Predators were a final leg of a parlay, Bink. They're up 2 goals with 3 minutes to go. They had an empty net opportunity to score, which would have been up 3. It would have been over. Nope. Give up 2 in regulation, goes to overtime. Once went to overtime, I knew the bet was done. Vancouver was winning in overtime. Like there was no going
back. Momentum,
man. Yeah, I mean, it's a real thing.
Nashville was too pissed. They even went to overtime.
Yeah. So no, I guess that was the only hockey I watched over the weekend.
You picked a good one. I'm telling you, the East Coast are fine, but these late night West Coast games that are starting at 9:30 with Edmonton and LA and Vancouver. Even though it was in Nashville, so it was a little bit earlier. But man, I think Turner's doing a great job, man, with the NHL. I love their studio show and what they have, but
TNT,
I think they've actually
it.
Done a really nice job
they
with the
kill
NHL.
ESPN.
Yeah. Well, by the way, we'll talk about Chuck's comments a little bit later on this hour, if not in the 1 o'clock hour, thinking of it, TNT and the NBA on TNT. And Chuck is the best, frankly. And he had a great comment about not just San Antonio, but Galveston.
A spot that you should not be, that he will
Galveston.
Not be going to.
Yeah, which I've been to Galveston a couple times.
That's
yes,
right,
I lived
Houston.
In Houston for a short period of time. I'll save it for when we talk about it, but yes, he's pretty accurate with his Galveston assessment. I was very excited when I moved to Houston. I'm like, oh, I'm an hour and a half from the beach. It's going to be great. Yeah, it sucked. So we'll get to that a little bit later on this hour. Back to the Chiefs, though. Back to the draft. And I think you look at what the Chiefs did, 7 picks across the board, and it was all about value, right? That Brett Veach has mastered the draft board. They trade up to get Xavier Worthy, and what happens a couple picks right after? 2 wide receivers go off the board. They're the start of the run because they've got a good feel. They're not just catching up at the end. And that's how you know you've got a general manager that has an unbelievable grasp now. And it's been this way for the last couple of years. But you learn as you're on the job the first year or so, weren't maybe happy with the draft results. You fast forward, though, and to me, we're going to find out a year from now or whatever, ultimately the success of each one of these picks. But from a value perspective, man, they got it all over the place. Worthy pretty much went right around kind of the range. But
I'm curious who they wanted to move up for, though. Was it Brian Thomas, or did they think Worthy they had to move up and get him? Because he did talk about wanting to move up even further, like 2021, that area.
Yeah, well, I mean, we may never know the answer to that. I want to know if the 49ers were going to get Worthy, and that's why that ended up being a big trade up in front of them. But when they drive Kingsley, the tackle out of BYU, he was kind of projected to be, for some, 43rd. I thought he was going to be a first-round pick. I had the Chiefs taking him in round one. They get him in round two, Bink, at 63. Wiley, the tight end that I know you're excited about. 118 is kind of where he was projected. He goes 131 to the Chiefs. Hicks, the safety, he was projected around 67th. They get him at 133. So they got value.
That was the biggest Costco value for the Chiefs was Hicks. 100% was. Dane Brugler had him as number 39 on his big board, had him as the number one safety. That was, I told you, Brett Veach is buying the house for $75,000 and selling it for $350,000. He is, instead of buying the Christmas candy on Christmas Eve, he's going to 26th and cleaning up on the discount. He gets tremendous value.
Oh, and it's not like he's looking at this year in particular, because you guys mentioned the whole Justin Reed thing at the end of next year. He's looking ahead even more. yeah, this guy is great value, but it's not like he's, it's not like we're just getting him because he's a great value pick and we're just going to see if he can plug him in. He's thinking ahead,
yeah,
even beyond this year of, okay, this guy can impact in 25, 6, 7.
They've done this for a while, but the one thing too is you project going forward, and like 2 years ago is a draft for necessity, that Eagles Super Bowl year because of the 61 starts by rookies. I never forget, you know, he's holding that Lombardi up at the parade after the Eagles Super Bowl win, says this is what rebuild looks like, and he's holding Lombardi. Yeah. They truly were in a rebuild there where they had to get the seventh-round production from Isaiah Pacheco. You had to get production from Josh Williams and Jalen Watson and Trey Smith. You had to get production from these, you know, mid-round picks. Last year was more of a draft of luxury. I looked at this year as kind of a cross between both. Obviously, the first and second round were necessity, but later on in the draft, more for, you know, the future. But he does a nice job of balancing necessity. When it's time to get guys you need to put on this roster for production because they have to help the team this year, he's done a good job with that. And then thinking of the future, like Shamari Connor's role, what are you thinking about him for the future? You're going to lose Snead. Well, you got other guys that can fill that role, come to the line of scrimmage, get to the quarterback, doing those kind of things.
There's always a theme, you know, to the draft, and you can pick up on it. It's very clear. I mean, after so much focus on defense the last couple of years, and it worked out, they had one of the best defenses in football because of that, in large part. McDuffie's going to be the consensus best corner in football by the time the year's over. I know in Kansas City we already think that, but by the end of the year, he's going to be the best quarterback in football.
And they hopped over Buffalo once again.
And this year, offense. 5 of the 7 picks were on offense. There was a clear intent in what they wanted to do. I know, Drew, you had mentioned, and I think we both were a little surprised, that they only drafted one wide receiver this year, but still offense. They said, we're going to focus on offense. We address, you know, a couple offensive linemen. We'll talk about the tackle battle here in a second, but even if you look further into the draft, they found a Nick Allegretti type replacement and he ended up being crucial, right? Allegretti started in the Super Bowl. You have to have guys like that. That's how you extend a dynasty. I'm blanking on his name. Norzad. You know, maybe he's the guy that replaces Trey Smith in a year if you don't re-sign Trey Smith. You have to be able to backbuild and hopefully not spend a ton of free agent money on non-premium positions.
This was a Mahomes draft. This is Mahomes. You got Texas guys. Well, obviously, Xavier Worthy's from Fresno, but did play at Texas. You got him. Jared Wiley's a former Temple High School quarterback and played at, you know, Texas and then TCU. So, you know, Texas. But this was a Mahomes draft. You got the protection. Mm-hmm. You got him weapons on offense. But clearly you put gas in that Ferrari, and that's what the Chiefs did this year.
I think that, you guys referenced it earlier with the whole, you know, Howie Roseman against Brett Veach thing. Howie Roseman, I think, is great about getting guys with like, he got Cooper DeJean. You know, he's got a really good knack for getting good players at value. But the Eagles have always had more holes than the Chiefs have. And if you talk about what Brett Veach is doing, where he's drafting ahead and he's thinking ahead and getting Allegretti's replacement, who could potentially be a guy that fills in, or a Trey Smith replacement, or a Justin Reed replacement. You're looking at, he's drafted so well where you can fill in a need at free agency if you want to, but they're never behind. It's not like they have to draft, they have 4 or 5 holes where they have to fix because they sign a bunch of guys in free agency and they're all gone. They have to address it in the draft. He's always looking ahead, and the Chiefs are never playing catch up, and I don't think they will.
They didn't go center till the dead last. That's why I was a little bit surprised they wouldn't look for Kelsey's or Jason Kelsey's replacement in this. Last year, they went heavy on Georgia, remember? And they actually took a step back. Yep. They went all in on Georgia through free agents, through the draft. Everything was Georgia. Didn't exactly pan out for them.
Did the Chiefs find their starting left tackle? Wasn't in the first round where I thought Kingsley Suamatia was going to go. He goes in the second round, so I love the value there. But is he someone that can be ready by week one? Before the draft, we said what they do in the draft will tell us how much confidence they have and Wanya Morris. So they don't spend a first-round pick. They spend a second. I still think in their back pocket they have Donovan Smith if they need him to make a phone call. I think they're going to see how minicamp goes and what they have in Morris and Kingsley. And depending on how that goes, that's going to be a camp battle. I'm not 100% sold that Donovan Smith's out of the equation entirely, but I would prefer them go see if these two young guys can go battle it out and roll the dice a little bit. There is some risk there. Maybe it ends up being Wanya Morris is the clubhouse leader right now. I would say if you're predicting who has the leg up, of course you're going to take the guy that's been in the system for a year, a guy that started 4 games for you. But I wanted them to address the left tackle spot. They end up getting the same guy that I thought was a good fit in round one. They get him in the second round. So maybe there's a little less pressure on him, which I think is actually good.
Donovan Smith last year signed on May 4.
Okay.
So there's still time with that. It would have been, you know, later this week, when May 4th this week. But he signed last year on May 4th.
Yeah, next Saturday, I think.
So,
or this Saturday.
They got Juwan in. They're like, we're keeping right tackle. We're going to left tackle. But again, if you have Kingsley out there in the situation of Wanya Morris, all right, one wins the starting left tackle battle. Then the other one's obviously the backup for Juwan Taylor on the right side. And all of a sudden, Juwan Taylor gets hurt. And boom, both of them are playing.
Percentage chance that they signed Donovan Smith for you. Still.
I always thought it was pretty high, to be honest with you. You just come
it's
in here.
It's a little less now, experience, right?
Of course, a little bit less now.
60?
I think Andy Reid does value experience over everything, especially left tackle.
Yeah.
Backup quarterback, left tackle, I think he does have some value for that.
If you're Donovan Smith, I'm sure you're kind of just waiting to see.
No other roster spot for him, though. That's the thing.
That always sorts itself out, though, doesn't it?
It does.
If he isn't signed by the beginning of the year, and even if the Chiefs are going to go, say they go with Sua Mataia and he's the guy, having him in the room – I think can be beneficial from the standpoint of, one, in case if somebody gets hurt, and two, let me help get this guy to really reach his potential without having to really play.
But if you're Donovan Smith, are you signing unless you know your star? You know what I mean? Is Donovan Smith signing to be a backup? I don't think so.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that if there's nowhere else for him to – he isn't signed by anybody.
Nobody has had that neck problem from last year.
Look, I would still rather have Donovan Smith than Bakhtiari. I know that's a fun name for people. The dude hasn't been an all-pro in 5 years. He can't. You think Donovan Smith has a neck problem or can't stay healthy? Bakhtiari's got major health problems. I wouldn't trust that. That guy gets you 4 games and he's done for the season.
Hasn't played much the last couple of years.
Like, that'd be the only...
Donovan Smith blocked for Tom Brady and Mahomes.
With him, the only thing it's weird, because you know the injury history, would be, okay, Bakhtiari, he actually is healthy. He looks great in camp. He's the starter. Then he's out in 4 weeks, and all of a sudden, then it's Kingsley, or then it's Wanya Morris. That actually is more likely scenario, I think, from an injury perspective. But I just why sign a guy if you already know going in that he's probably not making it through the season for you? Nobody can convince me of, oh, Bakhtiari, we all acknowledge that he's got this terrible injury history. Well, why are you bringing him in if you think he's making it 20-plus games in an NFL season at this point?
He's hardly played the last couple of years.
Yeah. So, to me, roll with the two young guys. I don't hate still the thought of at some point closer to camp or in camp.
One of the few camp battles will be left tackle, and who's going to be that extra running back that makes the team?
Yeah,
and your kick return.
And that's far down the depth chart. I mean, the only like starting positions up for grab, left tackle, and then maybe the number two corner spot. Although the corner they drafted wasn't high enough to me, where I think Jalen Watson is going to be the number two corner for this team.
They will. And, you know, Kamal Haddon's going to be one of those guys you're not going to count on year one. Maybe year two, maybe year three, but it's not going to be right away.
Some
of these other guys, like Jaden Hicks, will be in the rotation. Jared Wiley will be in the rotation. Xavier Worthy definitely gets some playing time. And Hunter Norton has had, who knows, with injuries, he could get some playing time. But some of these guys you're not going to see right away.
Out of the offensive line picks that they made, other than left tackle, how much do you think they have anything to do with futures of Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey? Like, I think Creed Humphrey is getting an extension this offseason still. I also think Nick Bolton is. They didn't draft a linebacker. That was to me, evident they weren't going to draft one.
But guard
but Trey
became
Smith
the,
is interesting.
It became the big paid position. That became the major free. It was last year, 2 years ago, it was receiver. Last year was guard.
Guard market's blown up.
Yeah.
I saw the deal Hunt got out east, Carolina or whatever.
Yeah.
And Trey Smith's been a great player for them, but can you pay Smith, Bolton, and Creed? I don't think the answer is yes. You draft a guard here that has versatility, maybe has a chance to be your starting guard in a year from now. And that's not a shot at Trey Smith. I think if you're going to pick a position not to pay, guard is probably the one when you're already paying Joe Tooney money.
I like the fact, too, you can slide over there and play center. I think that's really appealing to Andy.
Do you think there's any chance that if the snapping stuff doesn't get fixed from Creed, that they actually move him to right guard in a year and they have somebody else play center?
I think it's possible. I mean, Creed, those low snaps, but he's just so good as a center. Mm-hmm. Just the way he pulls and what he does from the position has just been so important. Yeah, but the snaps are important. I mean, because clearly you want the ball in the quarterback's hand where he can look down the field, and that does become an issue. But hopefully that's a correctable issue.
Yeah, because I'm not worried about Creed with the extension, because I've seen some people will text in sometimes to the show, and they're like, I wouldn't give him an extension. He's got the snap problems. To me, it's not something I'm concerned about, because the team is not going to give him an extension if they don't think the snap problems are correctable. Like, if they just thought, hey, Bink, he's just he's gonna have a snapping problem.
Nice guy, here's money.
So to me, that sorts itself out. If they give him an extension, that likely means they thought it was a fluky thing or something they can correct this offseason. If he doesn't end up getting an extension, then I think we can point to some of the snapping problems. But I still would guess as of April 29th that Creed Humphrey is getting an extension with this football team.
And they did start him at guard one game last year, kind of, I think, as a feel out.
Well, so that idea is not, I don't think it's all that crazy. That
was just because they were starting
not for
back
this
up.
Year. I'm saying a year from now.
Yeah.
That if the snapping were to come up again and be a problem,
he could 100% do guard.
He could play right guard 100%. And somebody else play center.
Be a very effective guard.
That's worst case scenario, though. And it's not a terrible fallback option.
But he's so damn smart at the position. Always has been.
You saw C.J. Stroud, who did a great job in draft coverage, too. That was cool. I think with Bleacher Report.
They had him and Micah Parsons.
C.J. Stroud and Micah Parsons. And that was just really cool. The two guys just talking sports. It was awesome. They were arguing with each other. And C.J. Stroud was drafting his team to go up for one play. I think it was like 1 4th-and-3 play. They selected. They argued about why 4th-and-3 instead of 4th-and-5. And Creed Humphrey was the center C.J. Stroud picked. He's like, he was going three, of course, had Kelsey, and he had some other guys. But Creed Humphrey was, out of all the centers in the league, that was the one he picked.
Yeah, I mean, many were considering it was Jason Kelsey and Creed Humphrey, your top two centers in the NFL. Yes, the snapping is a problem, but can it be remedied? Yes. 100% it can.
Jay Binkley in for Cody today. Wanted to get back to people who are texting in about it, Bink. They're wanting to know if it's true that you're not single anymore. This is from the 785.
I don't see any of that.
Got a couple of these texts in. 913-586-7610. Can you confirm that or not? Are you off the market?
Well, I really like the 4th-round pick. You know, Jared Wiley's the guy I think can step in.
No,
here.
You. Are you off the market? No, are you off the market?
C.J. Hansen, Cole Haddon was the last guy that we did ever mock.
Your service is no longer available. Not draft services.
I don't know, man. I mean, you know, it's a great question by you guys, but I'm just focused on the draft. I got one task at hand.
From the 816, hey, Gold, is your host single? From the 816, I heard Bink has a girlfriend. Is that true? Can we get some confirmation?
Cody's married.
Bink's already diving into tape for 2025, guys. He's too busy.
I'm too busy, man. Let's just move on.
Someone says it could be the best catch of your life. Is this true?
Well, things have worked
Bink
out so
Bink is shy
well
real quick.
Well, you know, I
you have more free time. Did your girlfriend, have you confirmed? I think you did confirm girlfriend.
No.
No.
You said this earlier.
Drew, I tell you things sometimes, and I don't expect them to go on the radio.
Oh, did she like your draft?
And I know you were on last week.
Hang on.
Drew said what?
Do not blame me for this.
Oh, we had a good conversation on the stream last Friday.
I know you did. I heard about it.
You heard? You listened, or someone told you?
Someone told me about the live stream you
did. Was it her? She's a big fan of the station.
No, hang on. Don't be afraid to name drop them.
No, I'm not going to name drop anybody. No. Your online was heard,
I
was questioned about it.
It's okay for you to snitch because they already did.
And Drew was mentioned prominently.
Who is this?
Does she like your draft coverage? Is that what 100%. Did she listen the whole weekend?
Loves draft. It's hard to find a woman that likes draft.
Mm.
I mean, honestly, it's pretty tough.
You got some more free time. The draft's over. She's got to be excited about
that. It's pretty tough. I mean, they don't really put it in their dating bio, you know, like love draft and talk draft and talk.
But
3-4.
If they have a Chiefs connection or something, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if they, you know. Some kind of
text lines. There's some rumors out there.
Blast from the past.
You see the latest rumor on the text line?
Yeah.
They want to know if you saw
Golden
her at a
girl
Chiefs game
slash,
in
Chiefs
the 80s.
Cheerleader combo. You know.
There it is. There it is. We finally got it out of him. Bink, girlfriend, former Chiefs cheerleader. That's confirmed.
Pick 131, round 4, Jared Wiley.
I'm happy for you, Bink.
Next line, just one question they
want to
know.
That's why I was so excited to, you know.
Does she like the tush push? That's
100%.
To the text
everybody
line.
Likes the tush push. Mm.
That's according to the text line.
I wonder if the Eagles can still do it without Kelsey.
Mm, that's a fair question.
That's a great question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who is there? Did they draft the replacement?
In the last round, they drafted a kid from North Carolina State. Dylan McMahon was his name. Mm. They drafted. It's picked like 190 for the Eagles. So it was later on, but they did get it. Thought they were going to get one earlier, but they didn't. And the one thing is, they did not draft a single player from Georgia, which is shocking.
Good for them.
Up next, we'll get to the random question of the day. Bink is still blushing a little bit over there. We don't have our video stream up today. I wish you guys could see his reaction right now. Plus, Clark Hunt said kind of the quiet part out loud finally about the Chiefs and their future stadium plans.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Good timing. Sound, that's for you, Bink.
Great timing.
That was just based off our prior conversation.
C.J. Hansen picked 248 in the seventh round.
What does that have to do with
Holy
anything?
Cross.
What does that have to do with anything?
They went FCS.
Uh-huh. Okay. We'll get to the random question of the day. Here in about 8 minutes or so, Drew's got a random question for us.
You open on your boogie shoes, Bink?
Oh, they're on.
They've
not come off since Thursday.
Again, this past four-day stretch was Bink's Super Bowl.
It was a lot of hours mixed in.
You and Chris did a great job. You guys were nonstop Thursday, thanks. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So seriously,
we had a lot
good
fun.
Stuff.
A ton of fun.
And if you want to hear their thoughts, some more character concerns, new podcast coming out tomorrow, 610sports.com, and of course, the Odyssey app.
And we did it only text line, no phone calls. It was all phone, all text line, and straight to draft picks, man. Straight to draft picks.
We'll get back to the draft in just a little while, but Clark Hunt spoke on Saturday at the draft fest or whatever was going on at Arrowhead, and it was the first time we had heard from either the Royals ownership or Chiefs ownership since the stadium vote failed, right? The 3/8 cent sales tax extension failed earlier in the summer. And he said a lot of the stuff that's been speculated and reported that options are being explored, right? We know both teams are now separated. That was the first time publicly we had heard it, but everybody just kind of assumed that was happening, that the Royals were going to do their own thing. The Chiefs were going to do their own thing in terms of seeking whatever the best deal is going to be. But this was Clark Hunt talking about options being looked at by the Chiefs.
I wouldn't say anything's changed in the last two or three weeks. We were obviously very focused on Arrowhead. And as I mentioned earlier, it's a special place for our fan base. And I believe it could be a special place for our fan base for another 25 years with the right renovation. But we're just going to have to be open-minded in how we approach this. And that may involve a new stadium. And it could be an open-air stadium or it could be a dome stadium.
It's not guaranteeing anything, but that is a different word choice than what we had heard months ago, because their plan was to renovate Arrowhead. That failed. So now go back and you guys can pull up any other interviews. Clark Hunt was on this show during the Super Bowl. We asked him about potential plans. Not once during that interview would he bring up really a new stadium. We asked him about, could you put a retractable roof on the current Arrowhead? And they talked why they didn't think that was feasible. But now you're hearing that they're exploring a new stadium, which to you and I and those lists, if you've been listening to the show, you know, like that doesn't seem like new information. It's new because the owner's actually saying it. It's not guaranteeing that they're not going to renovate. It's not guaranteeing that they're going to build a new stadium. But the fact that he is mentioning it publicly now is much different than what they were saying publicly just 3 weeks ago.
The fact you're mentioning that, there are two things. The fact you're mentioning new stadium instead of just renovations and closed roof. A retractable roof. Yeah. Dome is what he said, but he's talking about
hopefully retractable roof. If that's the case, yeah.
Because the Chiefs have gone in that market now of the other events, the Arrowhead events. There's a lot of those big concerts you see at Arrowhead Stadium, that's a Chiefs event. That's why they're using that facility. That's why, you know, Taylor Swift and Luke Combs and Beyonce and all these people, Billy Joel, they sing at Arrowhead Stadium. It's a Chiefs tractor pulls, you name it. The Chiefs make a ton of extra money on that. But not only that, when the Chiefs basically said with Mark Donovan, that little corridor there, which I'm still shocked, that I-435 and I-70 corridor, you'd think that would be you're seeing a ton of traffic. I'm shocked that when you look at other areas of the cities we've seen developed and that hasn't. But when they talk about it kind of being dried up and none of the renovation plans like included the bars and the hotels and things like that, as an extra parking lot, things like that, those are money makers for NFL teams. And when you're looking at these new stadiums, which they all do, they see the revenue potential on the outside of the stadium and what it brings. SoFi, look at what they have around that stadium out there. Got NFL Network headquartered right there at SoFi. Just boom, right there. It's a whole little ballpark village. To borrow a baseball term, but it's essentially like that for football. Football has become the end-all, be-all. 775,000 fans in Detroit for a draft shows you the kind of interest right now in being around the action.
Look, I think you and I both agree on this, that I still think both the Chiefs and Royals are staying in the metro area. The question is just exactly what does it look like? Is it both teams staying in Missouri? Is it one in Jackson County, Missouri? Is it the other going across the state line to Kansas and out by the Legends? We've all heard these different ideas and theories. I still find it hard to believe after the vote failed that both end up in Jackson County. That to me, I don't know how realistic that is, but I still don't buy into any of the stuff that's thrown out there about the teams not being in the metro. To me, that is a failed vote away, another failed vote away from actually being an option. Like, I know people want to mention Nashville. I'm not worried about Nashville until another public vote happens involving the Royals. And if it were to fail, then I think you get concerned big time about the team not being here. I don't think we're there yet. And we still don't even know if a public vote's going to be required the next time for the Royals if they want to stay downtown. For the Chiefs, we know if they were to go to Kansas, it doesn't require a public vote based on some of the funding mechanisms that exist in the state of Kansas through star bonds and otherwise. That shouldn't be all that surprising, though, that the ownership of the Chiefs is publicly acknowledging that it's not just a renovation option now we're looking at. Now we're looking at a new stadium. And where could they get the best new stadium? Is that in Jackson County? Does that make sense? I don't think it does make a whole lot of sense. I just worry about, and I want both teams to stay in KC. That's all I'm concerned about.
Yeah, I understand that. I understand. I personally, as a Missouri guy, I would rather see them stay in the state. I don't want to see the state of Missouri lose yet another NFL team. You got to think about this. Missouri's population is 18th in the nation. Kansas is 35th. I mean, that is losing another NFL team, I think, is big for the state of Missouri. You've lost two in St. Louis, and then if you lose there, you got a couple baseball teams here still in the NHL and some MLS. Well, you know, you have the one in Kansas City on that side because that's in Kansas. But that's a big, big loss for the state of Missouri. It just is. Here's the thing. The voters had their chance. I mean, Jackson County, you had your chance. And we told you before, you blank around and find out. Because now it becomes other options, and other options become very attractive. I want to see them stay, and I hope they do find a way to stay, but I completely understand. It's their business, their model. You voted. You've told them exactly what you think about the renovation plan, so they're going to move forward.
If they stay on the Missouri side, is there a spot where they feel they can have that development around like Mark Donovan talked about?
I've offered my backyard, but
I don't think that exists in Missouri for what the Chiefs are looking for. If it's a new stadium path.
Because I think that might be the ultimate decider of the whole thing is, well, when they presented, hey, this is what we're going to do, it didn't seem like very much, because, and not that they didn't put as much effort into it, but they acknowledged from the very beginning with their press conferences that there's not much urban development, and we can't develop, there's not development around Arrowhead where we feel comfortable in building a new stadium.
That's so the big thing.
It's all about the development, I think, around the stadium itself in terms of building Titletown or what have you.
I think Platte County makes the most sense, even though they're not in area yet, because that 435 area, it's like 10 minutes from Legends. So you get the Kansas side over there. It's still in Kansas City, Missouri. But Platte County's not shown any interest whatsoever. It's been Clay with the Royals and all that. But south of the airport, there's a lot of empty land in Platte County. You know what I'm saying? Maybe that's because I'm a Platte guy, but I'm just saying. Yeah. It's right there. They're developing the whole area there on 435 and everything else. But a lot of room there south of the airport. It is still in Kansas City, Missouri. So,
yeah, deep down.
Still getting that earnings tax?
Deep down, I think most people are on board with the idea that, most importantly, right, it is about keeping the Chiefs and Royals in Kansas City. From there, we go to preference of, and this is where I'm like, preference of where, right?
The infighting between the states.
Right. Mm-hmm. Number one priority, I personally think should just be keeping these teams in Kansas City.
I agree.
After that, we can debate on, you know, the pride people have for their state, right? And keeping it in their state or keeping it in their county, right? And that's understandable. You know, I have had no problem my entire life driving across the state line to Missouri to go to a Chiefs game. If you're asking me if I had my choice of the next path, obviously, I wouldn't mind the Chiefs going to Kansas.
You had to see 435 loaded with Missouri gamblers going to Kansas every weekend.
But it wouldn't matter to me. I think, though, if they're going, I did not believe renovating was smart before, that was before the rentings came out, for a stadium at the age of Arrowhead, for knowing that in 25 years you're going to then be asking for a new stadium anyway. I think they should build a new stadium with a retractable roof that allows you to have a Final Four in the future. And my theory on that is, for that to happen, that probably requires them going to Kansas. But most importantly, I want the team to stay in Kansas City.
Gold Year is in tune with the sports gambling as anybody in these two states, to be honest with you. You've been at meetings, you've been at the in the Capitol buildings, you've done everything when it revolves. How big of thing do you think it is that for the Kansas City Chiefs? They've clearly been on the forefront. All these teams in Missouri want legalized gambling in the state. Still hasn't passed yet. Kansas, it's wide open. It's wide open to do. How big a factor do you think that is for the Kansas City Chiefs, the fact that Kansas has it legalized at this point?
Not as much as people want to think.
Okay.
And obviously, I'm very much pro sports wagering in Kansas, and I hope Missouri, I know, stunner. And I know Missouri will hopefully have an opportunity to have that on the ballot.
You can smoke dope, but you can't gamble.
Right. Hopefully, it'll be on the ballot in November. We're about a week away from the signature collection deadline or so in Missouri. And so if that all goes well, then it could be something Missourians can vote on in this November election. But I think when you look at the dollar amount for, let's say, a $3 billion stadium project, the sports wagering money is such a small fraction. Like in Kansas, they have we all know, right? They have the sports wagering revenue. They had a fund to attract, literally it's called attract a professional sports team to Kansas, 80% of sports wagering revenue.
Or businesses slash.
Right. And that fund had maybe $5 million in it at the end of this year. And over, 20 to 40 years, that can add up. But I was already told that in this upcoming budget, they've already pulled some money out of that to like renovate a horse track in Wichita or whatever. My point being is there's not even $5 million in it. That is not why if the Chiefs decide to go to the Legends, it's not going to be because of the sports wagering fund. Okay. You know how much I love it, but it's not that big of a player. Okay. And in Missouri, if they were to, the Cardinals owner or whatever was on our station a week or two ago.
A lot of money brings in a ton for the state.
The Cardinals owner was on our station a week or two ago. They're very much pro sports wagering because they want it for their ballpark. They're already going to be asking for renovation money in St. Louis, by the way, here pretty soon. And that is just using the Chiefs situation, in my opinion, as leverage for the Cardinals owner to get what he wants, which is legalized sports wagering. I don't believe that's going to keep the Chiefs. If the Chiefs stay in Missouri, great. It's not going to be because sports wagering has happened.
I just figured it'd be part of the equation. They all want it so bad, they'd be willing to offer that. Kansas, with this lure businesses to the Kansas side, you'd be crazy. And I know there's not been admitted dialogue between the two, the state of Kansas and the Chiefs, but if you're the state of Kansas and you have an opportunity to get the hottest sport in the nation right now inside your state, that becomes incredible. And if you're not trying to do that and you're a politician in the state of Kansas, you're insane, because you just don't get NFL teams on the move, especially teams that have won 3 of the last 5 Super Bowls. And Missouri should be doing their damnedest to try to keep them within the state borders.
Yeah, and look, publicly, what was it, a week or so ago, the comments from Laura Kelly saying that they're not trying to get the Chiefs. There is no reason for her publicly to say she's trying to steal the Chiefs. Like, there's no benefit publicly to saying that. So, of course, she has denied it, that they would try. I don't think they will put themselves out there publicly unless they have a good feeling that they actually can get the Chiefs. They don't want to be used as leverage.
It doesn't mean that other people haven't, though.
It's like
with coaches. Oh, I haven't talked to them, but their agent has.
Right.
But they can clearly haven't talked to Florida State. I haven't talked to them, but their agent has.
Yeah, there's some developers on the Kansas side that have tried to act like they're big players in it publicly and get their name out there. But the actual people that matters most, that hasn't got to that point, my understanding, talking to people in the state of Kansas. All right, let's get to the random question of the day.
Random question.
For you, Vink, for you, Gold, text line as well, 913-586-7610. Some news, by the way, Jason Kelce is joining ESPN as part of their Monday Night Countdown. That comes
nice.
Out pretty athletic. This does not have to do necessarily with football, but with TV in general. Thinking of, the NFL draft and all these commercials, the playoffs going around, it's a lot of the same stuff, and there's a particular commercial where people are really not happy with the Shea Gilgeous Alexander and Chet Holmgren.
Since March Madness.
What a pro wants. Ugh. What a pro needs. Okay, so my question is, what is your worst commercial of all time?
Of all time.
It could be a recent one. I feel like recency bias is going to play a factor into that, but I don't know if you have anything older than that. Mine in particular is this one here, and it's not up anymore, thank goodness, but T-Mobile has this.
I've got home internet from T-Mobile.
I hate it.
It only costs $50 at T-Mobile. Huh. Just one cord to set up. Say goodbye to that.
Did you record this from your living room?
It certainly sounds like that. The YouTube video did not do it justice, but
it also just depends on how often they run too.
What a beautiful
morning.
It's
been on way too much. Way too much.
In my head.
I mean, there's one that comes to mind. It's fairly recent, but just the one. I guess if it's annoying, it means you remember it, which is part of the deal, right? That's how this works. Yeah. But
I've type 2 diabetes, but I manage it well. It's a little pill with a big story to tell. I take one daily.
And there's the Uber driver, the Uber
that's
Eats. Maybe we're just watching those channels, but they show the damn commercial all the damn time. I'm with you on that, man.
Dead serious, Gold. I was going to the gas station to get my drink this morning after we had talked about this, and I sung the freaking song in my it was in my head. I was kidding.
And your A1C.
It's a good jingle.
Bink, what is yours?
And I had to remind you guys of this one.
Huh?
Yeah.
What is this?
Quiznos. It was this rat thing they had. It did not make you want to eat a sandwich. It was kind of a possum dog looking rat. And it was rat singing. And it's like, why the hell would I want to go eat? Which I did like Quiznos. But why the hell would I want to go there sing the singing rat? It definitely stuck out. But man, it was like not appealing with food. Like the whole, like that's food. And there's this possum-looking rat. The Quiznos thing stands out to me and drove me nuts.
Is there even any around anymore?
I don't know.
There used to be a bunch. I think there's like one.
Bad marketing, man. Bad marketing. You can't use the rat. Look what happens.
Yeah, I don't. There used to be a bunch of Quiznos around. I don't think there might be like one in the Kansas City area.
Maybe
now.
This is why.
I don't know if it's because of that.
It was the ad. People saying Skyrizzy. It's another jingle-ish one.
So it's this in Jardians. It's all these pharmaceuticals.
The two things at once that has Travis Kelce in it. I don't know how people cannot like that. I'll have the two things at once, please.
The best are the insurance commercials. They've just been killing it.
The iPhone commercial.
Mayhem from Allstate and Geico Lizard and all that. I'd rather have that lizard than that damn rat.
My wife.
Seriously. Well, who now think that lizard's funny? Yeah. I do.
My wife hated the, it's gone now, but the AT&T commercial where they were talking about the new iPhone with titanium, and it was on the plane, and that'll be $2 for water, and yeah, that one was overplayed like crazy. Chuck E. Cheese was a rat too, but Chuck E. Cheese is Great.
So it says the wing stop, no flex zone, gets played during every single commercial break of every NBA playoff.
Yeah, that's another one. Sure.
That's what it is mainly.
That it's one's like, frustrating.
It's
because
just it's because we hear them all the time.
Overplay.
That's how it is.
Yes. Is it really only about four or five companies that are buying out these ads? Like, can anybody else just throw their face in front of us for 30 seconds?
NBA,
anybody else?
NBA partnerships or whatever. It's going to be the same.
Golly.
What happened to the boner ads?
What?
They've calmed down.
Are you struggling to find the products?
Like Bluetooth
you need?
Stuff? I'm just saying. It's too much Sky Rizzy. Devil in the Sheets. I want to, some uppers.
What was that, Pink?
Devil in the Sheets.
Yeah. Devil in the Sheets, Pink.
Mean in the Streets, Devil in the Sheets.
Mean in the Streets. Pink's Mean in the Sheets.
Devil in the Sheets.
Oh, Mean in the Streets.
MIA1C.
It sounds like you're ready to sing. You know, when you're in that chair during this time slot, you're required to do a song. So
I don't know if you have something.
The Burger King one is a classic one.
No song.
No, you're not ready?
No song. That's Cody's.
The Burger King one was classic.
Huh?
The Burger King one, you know. At BK.
Have it your way.
Oh, well, we did the whole Whopper, Whopper, Whopper thing. We did that for a while. We had that.
I used to Waffle House at the Buffalo Airport.
Whenever there was awkward silence on the show ever, there was a period of time we just played.
Whopper, 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 Whopper.
We just did that.
So good.
That was like a year ago, but yeah.
Someone says there's a Waffle House at the Buffalo Airport, so there you go.
So Keon Coleman's taken care of.
He can go to the airport, yeah.
If you missed that early in the show. Bink says Keon Coleman, wide receiver of the Buffalo Bills, is going to eat himself out of the league.
One Popeye's biscuit short of a tight end, according to the Booger. Remember? That was Kelvin Benjamin. Is this the next Kelvin Benjamin?
Mm-hmm. No.
For Buffalo, let's hope. And you should be hoping that too, Drew.
Yeah.
You should 100% be rooting for Keon eating his way out of the league.
I'm not rooting for some kid that just got drafted to just fail. He's not a quarterback.
I'd put him on NFL CBS.
He's not a quarterback going to a rival team where
you're
like,
he's funny, man. He's awesome.
Like, I get why you could be like, I hope Bo Nix sucks because that's a quarterback and it's a game changing position. Even if Keon Coleman is Stephon Diggs for a while was a very good wide receiver. It didn't change anything for Buffalo.
If there's a play where Keon Coleman just goes and mosses a guy with a one handed catch and gets both feet down to score a game winning touchdown against the Bengals or your case, the Chiefs.
Stop it.
Be very frustrating. But at the end, you just have to say, my God, he is good.
A couple biscuits and gravy afterwards. That definitely send you to the Waffle House for some smothered and covered.
You don't get it capped as well.
Is that worse? Is that if he goes out and he puts up like 8 catches for 200 yards and 2 touchdowns, and he's like, yeah, by the way, before this, I had 6 pancakes and 4 waffles and some bacon.
I'm just saying, man. You don't have many draft picks talk about their love.
He was showing his personality.
Having the Cook's number.
He was just showing his personality.
Do you have the Cook's number at Chipotle?
No, I've told you I've cut down. Maybe you don't know. I don't go there very often anymore.
You don't?
No. Nope.
What the hell?
I know. I don't go there very often anymore.
Something happened?
I think it had to do with the smell and taste thing that I lost.
It might be you, but I did see there's a couple of people who are
taste the same
friends of mine
right
that
now.
Say after COVID, post-COVID, something changed, and it's not as good.
That sucks for you, man. That was your jam,
well, I still
man.
Can't smell. That's the thing. I haven't had a smell since
still
December.
Can.
Yeah. So I can taste most foods. There's a few things that don't. I wonder if that's what screwed it up.
Somebody
it tastes as good to me anymore.
Somebody mentioned the Jennifer Coolidge commercials for Discover. I don't like those either. I those are very annoying.
Like, who's going to call Discover just to have a conversation about pajamas at 2 a.m.? I've thought about it. Because when you hear that, it's like, were they really that willing to have a discussion with me at 2 a.m.?
Oh, so do you have a Discover card, or would you just call them?
I do, but sometimes I get bored, you know, so I'm like, 2 a.m., I've heard your commercial. As I did when I was State Farm, I went to talk to Jake when I had to get a car replaced. But yeah, I was thinking about calling at 2 a.m. I've talked to my Alexa before. Like, I've had conversations with that.
You've had a conversation at 2 a.m. with Alexa.
I've gotten a little bit bored.
Have you done that since you've been dating the former Chiefs cheerleader?
I do it all the time.
You still are talking to Alexa.
She talks to me. Alexa do a lot of different things.
Does she tell you what you want her to tell you?
Yeah, I mean, ask her questions. Ask her to fart sometime. Seriously, anybody listening to the show on Alexa?
All right.
Alexa, fart. I'm not kidding. She'll do it. She'll just, you want a wet one? And she'll ask you the question.
What? No.
I'm not kidding you. Alexa,
no.
Google Home won't do it, but Alexa will fart if you ask it.
Trust me.
At text line, ask your Alexa to fart right now. I guarantee it will. You're not going to miss any of the show. Hang Trust on. Me. Ask your Alexa to fart, and I go.
Do you have an Alexa?
Yeah, I do.
You need to record this and
I've done it.
No, you need to record it because I don't believe you.
You don't believe there's it, Alexa. No, Alexa 100% will fart.
There is no way that you ask her that. And she says, do you want a wet one? There is no way.
I guarantee you she does. Bank. And she asks you what? I guarantee you, Drew. I guarantee you the text line right now will ask their Alexa to do that. And she asks you, would you like a wet or juicy one?
100%. Take a video. All right, we'll ask this question.
We'll let everybody find out if Bink's telling the truth on
I'm
that.
I'm totally telling the truth.
During the break.
I say some dumb crap, but it's usually true.
During the break, we'll let you do that. And what Chuck said on TNT last night about a city in Texas. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/AcrossAmerica.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.